The title of this message is How to Win a Brother Over. You know, I believe that when we do stuff, we ought to do it God's way. How many of you would agree with me? God raises up all authority. God speaks in and through authority. And that doesn't mean that you have to always listen to some kind of preacher to hear from God. God has given you His word, right? And it is authorized. But God does raise up the church, and God does raise up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to do what? Equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so there are certain things, in order for us to effectively do the work of the ministry, there are certain things that we have to know and understand about God's character and the character He wants us to have. Now, the things that we've been talking about for many, many months now are the things that Jesus taught His disciples. Why is it important that we know what Jesus taught His disciples? Because when He gave the Great Commission, He said to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And so Jesus gave all of these commands, and notice they were commands. He gave them these commands. Why? Because He wants them to begin to understand and take on for themselves the very character of Christ. And when you look at the things that Jesus commanded of His disciples, He wasn't telling them, do as I say and not as I do, like many times parents try to do, right? No, Jesus really is wanting us to do what He did. So He's wanting us to live like He lived. And we often talk about the fact that Jesus said that you'll do greater things than I did, right? And He's not just talking about, you know, miracles and signs and wonders and all. And it's greater. I believe it's greater because now it's not limited to one human being, one body, but He's in all of us now. So, of course, it's going to be a greater work. It doesn't mean better. It means greater, larger. But Jesus said the things that He did, we would be able to do. So I believe that means that we're able to live above the dominion of sin. I believe that also means that we can speak words of life to people and bring them to the truth. Now, how many of you know that not everybody Jesus preached to listened, all right? And not everybody you and I preached to was going to listen, right? And so Jesus did miracles, signs, and wonders right in front of people. He raised Lazarus from the dead right in front of people. And the religious people who had no life, what they wanted to do instead was figure out a way how to kill Lazarus that He had just raised from the dead. So Jesus said in order for us to do what He's called us to do and do it effectively, we have to learn His character. And that's what all these commands are about. Just like the Ten Commandments that God gave originally, they're really describing godly character. Amen? When you don't have godly character, what that looks like. So this is based on the fact that Jesus taught His disciples to go to your offender. Go to your offender. This is based on those that Jesus said to go to who have offended you. And not only go to them, but do it with the right motivation. Now, how many in this room have ever been offended? We all have, right? I asked this last week. Have you ever been offended? Yeah. Well, how many have ever offended somebody else? Yeah, all of us, right? And so He is talking about within the context mainly of a brother and a sister in the Lord here, okay? And so he talks about your brother. And in the scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you have gained a brother. So what is he talking about? He's talking about reestablishing relationships within the body that have been fractured, that have been broken. And we talked a lot about that last week. So I'm not going to go over everything that we said, but I want you to understand that in God's heart, it is so important that we have reconciliation, that He covered it from both sides. Whether you are offended by somebody, you go to them and try to bring reconciliation if you can. If you have offended somebody, then He puts it also on you that you should go and seek reconciliation. So the way Jesus taught this was that either way, we don't have an option, because whether you offended the person or whether you got offended by the person, one of y'all needs to do the right thing. Right? And hopefully both. And so why is that important? Because I cannot properly represent Him if I've got bitterness and offense in my heart. And I'm not, instead of spreading something good and heavenly, I'm going to spread something poisonous from hell. Everybody understand? And so Jesus is dealing with the hearts of his people, saying, we got to deal with this before you can go out and actually represent me the way you should represent me. And you got to know, even within the disciples, if you read, if you go and you read the Gospels and you read the disciples, you'll see more than one time they were competitive. They actually were arguing with each other over who's the greatest. Sound like Muhammad Ali, right? I'm the greatest. They were arguing over that. And then even had the nerve to go to Jesus, John and James go to Jesus, try to one-up the rest of them while they're not looking. Hey, would you let us sit on your right and your left side when you come into your kingdom? They had no idea what they were really asking, right? Jesus said, can you drink of the cup that I'm about to drink of? Oh, yeah. We demand. We can do it, right? They had no idea what he was talking about. Is, you know, if they really could do it, they'd be hanging on two crosses on either side of them, right? So the Apostle Paul says that if it is all possible to make peace, do so. But we also understand it's not always possible. But here's the thing. You ought to be able to sleep good at night knowing you did the right thing. Amen? The number one main point here is that this is a mandate for reconciliation. This is not a suggestion. This is not an option. It is a mandate that he is giving us to go to our offenders. And I tried to clarify last week, I want to make sure that you understand, I am not telling people that you should go put yourself in a dangerous situation. That if somebody has assaulted you in some way, especially a young lady, I'm not telling you that you must go by yourself alone to go and talk to that guy and, you know, try to get reconciliation. There are some things that happen that you need to get other authorities involved with. Everybody understand? All right? But you do have to deal with the issue in your own heart. All right? And you got to get your own heart cleared. So Jesus gives us this command to go, and he says to go alone, but he's not saying that you should go and put yourself in danger in some way. All right, we dealt with that pretty extensively last week. Now, this was so important to Jesus that in Matthew 5:24, he says this. He says, leave your gift there before the altar and go. What is your gift? Your gift, in this context, your gift is your worship. Now, how many of you know that when we bring tithe and offering and so on, that is just a part of worship? When we sing songs, that's a part of worship. When you show up here, you faithfully show up here, and you sit in those seats, and you listen, and you participate in the service and whatever's going on, it's all worship. Worship isn't just the song service, right? We've said that many times. So Jesus is saying that before you even offer your worship, in whatever form that is, first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. It's so important to him that he's saying, don't even come and worship me or offer your worship until you're willing to try to get this right. Now, they may not reconcile. They may not want to. They may deny that they've ever done anything to you. And we'll talk more about that next week. But there's a proper way to handle all of those things. And I'm going to give you some very practical things next week about how to do this. But first you got to deal with the heart. Understand it's so important to him that he says, you know what, if you're going to hold this bitterness toward people, don't even bother putting an offering in the basket. If you're going to hold this bitterness toward people, don't even bother singing these songs. If you're going to hold bitterness and offense towards somebody, they've offended you, and you're not willing to reconcile and let that go, then your worship counts for nothing. You know why? Because what you've done is you've turned your worship inside. Now hear me. Instead of your worship being going out to him the way it's supposed to be, what you're really doing is worshiping you because you think you're more important. So in this command, he tells us to go, and so he's putting it on us one way or the other to fix it. Matthew 18:15, again, if your brother sins against you, go. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. That is the main issue, to gain that brother or that sister, right? And so the natural inclination many times is to wait for that offender to come to us. oh, they owe me an apology, you know, and I'll never talk to them again until they give it. And Jesus says, no, I'm not giving you that option. No, you go to them. You go to them. And there is a way to do it in humility and in love that we should do. And again, we'll talk about that next week. So, you know, we may try to forgive. We may hold back feelings of hurt and anger and resentment, but we also have to tame the tongue. And notice what the scripture says, the tongue that no man can tame. James 3:8 says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. But understand, don't let that be an excuse for you to go running your mouth to hurt people. Okay? So people say, you know, well, the scripture says you can't tame the tongue. No, you can't in your natural. That thing's going to run like it runs. But the Holy Spirit can certainly tame it if you'll yield it to the Holy Spirit. By the way, which is one of the reasons the gift of tongues is so important to the body, because what you're actually doing when you're praying in tongues is you're yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit. James says if you control the tongue, you control the whole body, right? Okay, so just one of the ways that God works, that's one of the reasons tongues is important to us, okay? Has nothing to do with our salvation, but it is a wonderful gift, all right? And so don't let that be an excuse saying, well, you know, I couldn't help myself. You know, I'm gonna say what I'm going to say, you know. And remember, no human being can tame it, but the Holy Spirit can. And that is why I believe that with everything within us, we should say, Lord, is there anything in my life that I've not allowed you to tame? Is there anything in my life that I've not allowed you to have dominion over? And if there is, then Lord, I give them dominion over to you in this thing. Now, it's a process, and you know, because we've learned how to act and react in certain ways all of our lives. So it's a process to change that, but that's what repentance is. Our own soul is so self-focused that when we repeat the offense to another brother or a sister, what will happen is our report will many times be distorted and magnified and slanted. And remember, the tongue always reveals the heart. When we tell someone else about the offense other than a legitimate authority, and understand, remember what I said, if there's a possible danger or something like that, then there may be a legitimate authority that needs to be contacted. Whether that's the police in certain situations or having to do with the church, you know, Pastor Cindy and myself being the authority that God placed here. But when you go around running your mouth to other people, what you're doing is actually injecting venom and poison into them. You have no idea. And I want to clarify something here. When I don't do this the way Jesus said to do it, then I am now infecting people in a way that's going to harm them. See, if you hurt me, God, there is a grace for me to forgive you and to turn that thing loose. But if I go running my mouth to everybody that'll listen about how terrible you are and what a horrible person you are and what you did to me, then now I'm poisoning them. And then I have the grace to get through it, but they don't, because they shouldn't have been in it in the first place. Like two kids. My mama can tell you, when I was a kid, me and my best friend lived across the street, but we would fight all the time. We wanted to sit on the bus together. We'd beg the bus driver to let us sit together on the bus, but then we'd fight on the bus, right? And he'd have to separate us. And we'd be out there fighting. And then my parents and their parents, if we're not careful, we're out there fighting. And then the parents will start arguing over the whole situation. And next thing you know, me and him, we out playing again. And now they mad at each other. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay? So it's the same way. Somebody does you wrong, they hurt you, and you go telling anybody and everybody because we want somebody to comfort us. And instead of going to God for our comfort, we go to everybody else and we poison them. That's a terrible thing to do. I tell married people, whatever you do, especially young married people that just get married, you got to know going into this thing that he is going to get on your last nerve and she is going to get on your last nerve. But whatever you do, don't go running to your family and spilling all of this nasty stuff about your spouse, because what's going to happen is they're going to take that on, and because they love you, they're going to be mad at that spouse and they're going to have a grudge against that spouse because they're mistreating their baby. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And then and it could be a best friend. It could be. And so then what happens is now y'all all cuddling up together and everything's good because you got past it, because you got the grace to do that. And now this other person has an issue with them. It's a terrible thing to do. You'll destroy your marriage that way. So again, let me give you something, some wisdom that comes from my pastor. He's the first one I ever heard say this, Pastor Mike. He said, if you rehearse a hurt, it becomes a curse. If you rehearse a hurt, it becomes a curse. And I want to tell you, it's not easy to not rehearse a hurt. Man, that thing wants to play in your mind over and over. You can hear those words over and over. You can feel that pain over and over. And you rehearse that, and every time you bring it up to rehearse it, you're taking another drink of poison. If you rehearse a hurt, it becomes a curse. That's why Jesus said, cast your cares on me, because I care for you. See, instead of carrying that by ourselves or taking it to someone else who has no business ever even hearing it, we should take it and we should lay it at the foot of the cross and let his blood wash over it and refuse to rehearse those hurts over again, because it will become a curse. Now, I got to hurry up with this. Now, I want to at least get through the second point. Understand, the more we focus on the offender, the more in bondage we become. And that bitterness that arises in us doesn't hurt them. It hurts us, right? And that's so important to understand. When I hold a grudge because somebody offended me, it ain't hurting them at all. In fact, they may take a little bit of pleasure if they intended to offend me. They may take a little bit of pleasure in the fact that they're still hurting me, right? You just got to make up your mind. I'm not giving them that pleasure. I'm going to do this the way Jesus said to do it. Test of spirituality. This is the second main point. A test of spirituality. Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual. Everybody say spiritual. You who are spiritual, that means you're not just stuck in the flesh, doing things the way flesh wants to do it all the time. But you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, this is very important to understand. And so how will we be tempted? I want to share a couple of ways that I believe we can be tempted that he's warning us about. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. How will we be tempted? I believe this can apply in two ways. Firstly, when we go to help restore someone who has sinned, we better be very, very careful. You better make sure that sin that they're stuck in, that they're involved in, is not a temptation to you as well. You better make sure that the sin that they are involved in is not going to be a temptation that causes you to fall. You know, if you fight alcoholism, then you don't need to be going to the bar trying to get your buddy out the bar. You understand that? There is a time where victory comes. And in that victory, you can deal with those situations. But you got to get healed up yourself, right? And so maybe it's some kind of addiction that you struggle with. And you don't want to put yourself in a place and fall into that trap. So maybe though, it's even the sin of bitterness or unforgiveness that they're carrying. And if you're not careful, they will pull you into it. Hear me. It is one of the most dangerous things that you could ever encounter. You know why? Because we love people. We care for people. We will take that upon ourselves. And it destroys us. And they want to pull you in because they're looking for agreement. They're looking for some kind of justification. They're looking for somebody to somehow help them feel better. And they'll poison you. If you're not careful, that thing will invade your heart. And when you take someone else's offense, again, they have grace for it, but you don't. So when that transgression is against us, and this is the second thing I believe that he's warning us about the scripture. If that transgression was against us, our natural man doesn't want reconciliation. How many of you know when somebody hurts you, we're not necessarily naturally looking for reconciliation, right? We're looking for another word that starts with an R. Any idea what it is? It's called revenge. When somebody hurts me, my natural inclination is I want revenge. I want them to know what it feels like to be hurt like that. I want them to experience it. And our motive may be I want them to experience it so they'll stop doing it to me. But whatever our motive is, we want revenge. And he's warning us about having a natural reaction in the flesh instead of a Holy Spirit-led reaction. And can I tell you, I really wish I could tell you after all these years of serving the Lord that I do that perfectly every time, but I'd be lying. The enemy knows exactly which buttons need to be pushed. And God does too. And sometimes God will allow those buttons to be pushed. The devil will do it just to torment you. But God will allow those buttons to be pushed so that you can realize that's still in you. I told you all the story about the time that guy pulled out in front of me, and I'm 65 miles an hour, and I'm slamming on my brakes, and I come about 2 inches from hitting him from behind. I mean, he just pulled out of nowhere and then starts shooting me the bird. Not just once, but many times over. And he did. It's like he did it wanting me to hit him. I don't know if he was looking for insurance money. I don't know what to do. I was so mad at him. I'm telling you, I wanted to follow that guy down. And, you know, listen, I had murder in my heart. Now, when I say that, it doesn't mean I was going to go murder the guy. Okay. What I'm trying to expose to you is that sometimes there can be something in your heart, and God has to allow a very unfair situation to show up to expose that, to get it out of you. You don't justify yourself. You say, God, I didn't even know that was there. I want that out of me. Well, in that moment, there was something way, way, way deep down in there that I didn't even know was there till that guy did that. And you know, it wasn't the pulling out part. It was that he kept shooting the bird to me over and over and over, like it was my fault. And boy, my pride wanted to rise up. So the truth of the matter is, none of us have gotten to the place where we're always led by the Holy Spirit, but we want to. We need to. We need to strive for that. Amen. When Jesus said to be perfect, it's striving for perfection. All that really means is strive to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. All the time, right? So remember at the end of the previous chapter, Paul said in Galatians 5:25, he said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If I'm a Spirit-filled Christian, then I have to make the choice. Notice what he says, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I have to choose. In every situation, I have a choice. Am I going to lean into the Holy Spirit? Am I going to walk in His steps? Or am I going to do my own thing? Most of us grew up doing our own thing, right? Most of us are taught if somebody hurts you, you hurt them back, right? I remember Pastor Mike said, he said, man, here I was a little skinny kid in school, you know, smallest kid in school. And he said, and I had uncles and people in my family that was trying to convince me to murder. He said, Mikey, if they hit you, if they mistreat you, pick up a brick and smash their head with it, right? I've heard him say that. He said, so you have all this stuff that you're told all these years, and Jesus comes along and he says, man, that is absolutely, totally backwards. And you got to get all that junk out of you. So when someone offends us, our natural man would really like for God to at least slap them around a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Right? Make them pay. God, I want them to pay. I don't even necessarily want an apology right now. I want them to feel some pain is what I want. And we know it's too spiritual to ask God to kill them, so we can at least give them diarrhea for about 6 weeks and a coffin issue, right? So we want to make sure that they don't get away with it. But praise God that God didn't look at us that way. Praise God, He was willing to humble Himself and willing to take our sin upon Himself and then say, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing while they're killing Him. So the Word says, we which are spiritual, restore them in a spirit of meekness. You know what meekness is? Meekness is power under control. Meekness means I can hurt them, but I choose to humble myself and love them and serve them instead. How many of you know when Jesus came to the earth, he literally could have killed all of us. In fact, the scripture says when he was on that cross, he could have called down angels from heaven and wiped every one of them out. But in a spirit of meekness, he did not do that. Now, here's another definition of meekness, the spirit of meekness, knowing the truth about who I really am when no one else is around. And because I know that, I'm not going to get haughty and think I'm better than anybody. Amen? Meekness is accepting the fact of who I am apart from Christ. Understanding that in my flesh, no good thing resides in me. That's why I'm always saying, Jesus didn't come to dress up your life, to dress up your flesh. He came with a bulldozer. He didn't show up with a paintbrush to kind of fix it. He came with a bulldozer. He's knocking the whole thing down, and he's ripping the entire slab up, and he's going to start over again. That's what the Christian life is. It's realizing who I am and remembering that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. That's Romans 5:8. So next week, and we're going to end right here. Next week, I want to give you some steps for reconciliation. These are very practical steps on how to do it. And I want to tell you, you're not going to do it unless you're willing to humble yourself. You will not do these things unless you're operating in a spirit of meekness. In order to do these things, in order to go to your offender and to make things right and to get reconciliation, that means you have to love them the way Jesus loves them. And see that even though they hurt you, you got to understand Jesus shed his blood for them. Now, again, this is in this teaching, this is within the context of God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ, all right? You know, when it comes to people in the world who do not have the Spirit of God, you do your best to try to be at peace, if at all possible. But you got to understand they cannot operate according to the Spirit because they don't have the Spirit, all right? So next week, we're going to give you some very practical steps, and I want to challenge you to walk those out. And by the way, let me say this. The steps that we're going to give you next week, it's a lot easier to do that with a stranger than it is to do that with the people you know and are close to. So why does Jesus want us to know these things? Because we have a purpose in this world. We are to be salt, we're to be light, we're to manifest his glory, and we cannot do it if we're carrying these things and not dealing with them the way Jesus said to deal with them. Amen? Now, how many of you want to be effective as you can for the Lord in your life? You want to be light in darkness? Let me ask you this. How many of you want to, when you go to your grave, I'm not saying you want to go to your grave anytime soon, but when you go to your grave, you want to go to your grave not filled with regrets. You want to go to your grave knowing, Lord, I know I didn't do it perfect, but I did do my best to do it your way, by your power, by your Spirit, not based on my own ability. But Lord, I hope I honored you with my life because that's what I really want. We cannot honor him and do things an opposite way that he instructed us to do it. We cannot honor him that way. So I believe this church, look, I just believe that there is something very, very special about it. I'm not saying because there's something special about me. I'm saying there's something very special. If you're here, then you're not normal. And when I say normal, you're not just the normal person that's filling most churches in America today that just want a feel-good message and just want to, you know, just kind of going through the motions. If you're here and the kind of teaching and the preaching that you experience in this place and you still here, then there's something about you that God truly treasures because there's a hunger in you and he wants you to be fulfilled in your life. Amen. I want to pray for you. And if you would just stretch your hands out to the Lord today. I just want to pray some specific things for you. Father, I pray for a supernatural grace to walk this out, Lord. We know that there's more to go here. There's more teaching on this. But Father, I pray for what we've heard yet so far. I pray for a supernatural grace to walk this out. Lord, if there are people in this room that are carrying the burden of an offense or unforgiveness or a grudge of some kind, Lord, I pray right now for that grace to just pour into their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would turn their hearts toward their offender, Lord, to be able to pray for them and to be able to show the love of Christ if at all possible. Lord, to make reconciliation where it's possible. Lord, we know it's not always possible, but Lord, I pray for every person within the sound of my voice that by your grace, they'll do their part, that they might sleep at night with peace, knowing that they followed you in this directive. And Lord, we know that your grace is so incredible. We're not trying to earn our salvation by doing these things. We're just trying to be light and salt like you told us to. We're trying to show your glory forth for others. And I pray, Father God, that you would be glorified in everything that is done in our lives this week. Lord, I know we'll be tested. I know this week we'll be tested. There'll be a test to see how we're going to react in certain situations. I pray for the grace to pass the test, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.